to Building Championship Mindsets, the podcast. This is your host, Dr. Amber Selkin, where we are in season 14, entitled What Drives Winning. We are all about helping people win in sport, in business, in life. We say from the locker room to the boardroom, we're here to help individuals, teams, and organizations unleash performance excellence through the power of mindset and leadership. And so in this season, I wanted to think about those two things a little bit differently. We say mindset. Well, that's really about individual performance excellence. We say leadership. That's about organizational performance excellence. And we learned last week, right? There's an element of self-leadership and influence of those around us that actually drives individual excellence. But on a broader scale, that's what we're really looking at. So how do we look at things like mindset and leadership and to think about how do individuals be great? And how do teams and organizations be great? When I say teams and orgs, make sure you keep your family in that, right? Aaron and I, my amazing husband, welcomed Eliana Bell into the world last year in 2023, depends on, I guess, when you're listening to this. And so we think about our family as a team. And there's an element of team winning that has to happen, that we apply to our family life, just like we apply it in our businesses. So I've had the honor and privilege of serving as the mental and organizational performance coach with head coach Brian Kelly for the last 7 years. We're entering our eighth season together now. And then as an executive at Lippert, helping steward our culture and leadership journey there. So, you know, I've had the honor of being embedded in teams, in organizations that are winning in a massive way. You know, I've been with Lippert for almost 6 years now. And in that time, it was a huge deal when we capped $1 billion and grew to a $1 billion organization. We're almost to five now, just a couple years later. Why? There's a lot of winning going on throughout our whole organization. How? As a publicly traded manufacturing company, how? With Coach, we've had seven back-to-back consecutive 10-win seasons, 10-win plus, right? Some years we had 12 plus, some years we had 11, but 10-win seasons. That's really hard to do. We actually did the math on that. There's less than 20% of teams every year get 10 wins or more in a season. And then those teams that do back-to-back 10-win seasons, I mean, in LSU's history, there was only four, I think, that we found. And so it was a big deal for our program at LSU to have back-to-back 10-win seasons. Coach and I have put seven of those together. Now, he and I, plus the amazing staff and team and players, right, that have been a part of this journey. I'm not saying it's him and I, but collectively, we've been a part of that together. How? That's what I want to look at today as we think about organizational high performance excellence. Last week, I was able to share my personal theory of what leads to individual performance excellence. Today, we're going to look at what I believe leads to organizational high performance excellence. And then in the upcoming episodes, we're going to hear from some other performance specialists and coaches, and they're really short episodes. So these first couple are a little bit longer because I'm diving in a little bit deeper on my own models. But with these other ones, they're really short, like 9 to 15 minutes, I think is going to be our max time that we have to hear from people. And they're going to answer two questions. What do you think leads to individual performance excellence? And what do you think leads to organizational performance excellence? I told them they only get sort of one piece of the puzzle to talk about, even though we know there's a lot. But again, I'm going to share sort of my more holistic model. My book, Winning the Mental Game, really does a deep dive in individual mental performance excellence. I'm working already on the next book that looks at organizational high performance excellence. So I guess this episode is a little bit of a teaser for that. It's not coming out this year, but I'll stay posted. Stay tuned. I'll keep you posted when that's coming. It's tough working a couple different jobs and having this baby girl who's a main focus and joy of our lives right now. So that book is coming, but it's on its own timeline. So, you know, people ask me why are these two teams that you've been able to be a part of these last several years so successful? And so I've really thought a lot about that question because we need to be able to replicate this because it's not by accident. It's not by chance. And so here's what I believe leads to organizational high performance. It has to be a top-down, bottom-up, and contextually relevant approach. It has to be a top-down, bottom-up, and contextually relevant approach to building a system of high performance excellence that is comprehensive and integrated. That is a lot of big words, and I do not mean to sound like some pie in the sky PhD person that's like pontificating on bullshit, right? I mean to say every word that I say, it has a lot behind it, and it's really, really important, okay? So I'm going to say it all, and then we're going to break it down. It's got to be top down, bottom up, contextually relevant, comprehensive, integrated approach to high performance excellence, okay? So top down, what does that mean? That means that the very senior most leader of the team, of the organization, has to be bought in. And not just bought in. They have to have extreme ownership over the culture, over everything that happens inside of that system. And oftentimes, it comes with a little bit of a hammer because they have to be courageous enough and confident enough to hold everybody inside of that organization accountable to what they believe is important. So it has to be led from the top. And so that's the first part of what top down means. Now, there's some things that come from the top down that only the top down can do. What's the vision of the organization? What's the mission of the organization? That has to be set and communicated from the top down. Accountability measures. What's sort of the feedback loop that happens inside of the organization to make sure that we're actually operating in alignment with what we say is important and what we're here after? That can only come from the top down. And let's make this practical. We've all been a part of a team or an organization where the leader or the coach says something's important, but then somebody does something different and nobody holds them accountable. And so, you know, as a really invested team member who does the right things, who really cares, you go up to that person and you say, "Hey man, that's not how we operate here." And they look at you like, "Who are you? I'm not afraid of you." And if they get away with it from the top, they're going to keep doing it. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. So as much as you want to influence that, sometimes you just can't. If there is not air cover, right, to provide support, alignment, accountability to the things that we say that's important, that's a losing battle. And that's a recipe for mediocrity. Okay. So top down. Now bottom up. What does that mean? That means that people on the front lines of your organization have to have ownership, buy-in. They have to have their hands on driving, rowing in the same direction, if you want to row the boat analogy, right? Towards what we say is important from the top. Because again, we've all been a part of a team or an organization. It's like, well, corporate says we got to do X, or my boss told me that this is what we're going to do, or coach told me that I have to run practice this way, or I have to show up and do this. No, man, we want to create an environment where there's engagement, where people inside of that system or that team are so committed to the mission and are doing the things, are actually bought in. It's like, no, we're not doing this because coach says it. We're doing this because this is how we operate here. And so again, you have to find ways to bring your culture, bring what is important to you to life and put it in the hands of your people so they can own it, grow it, get creative with it. So for example, you know, at Lippert, celebrating people is really important. And people often ask, like, what's your awards and recognition program? And like, listen, we don't really have an awards and recognition program. I mean, we do for like tenure. There's stuff that HR helps manage for us. But then guess what? Our HR and leadership teams at our local manufacturing plants, they just know that they're supposed to celebrate people. So that looks different in almost every plant. You know, they find really creative ways to celebrate their people. And now guess what? They celebrate people because it's fun and they want to celebrate people and they know it's important, not because corporate said we must celebrate people at their 5-year anniversary, right? We don't have a lot of robots running around. We got freaking passionate people with their hearts on fire trying to turn up and win in the lives of our people and win in business, right? Our vision at Lippert is to make business a force for good in the world. And our mission is to make lives better by developing meaningful relationships with our customers, our coworkers, our community. And then that comes to life every single day in our organization, because from the bottom up, people are taking hold of that. Okay, our mission is to make lives better. Well, man, I just had a team member whose son got in a car accident and they need some help getting him home from the hospital. Okay, we're all going to go over there and help get him home and get him in the house and get him situated, because that's what our mission is here. Our vision is to make business a force for good in the world. Okay, cool. We're gonna start a military engagement group so that all of our veterans can feel a part of something special inside our organization. That's just people knowing from the top down what the vision and mission is, and then from the bottom up, taking hold of that and making it their own and bringing it to life in the daily rhythm of how our organization operates. So that's top down. That's what bottom up means. And now contextually relevant. What does that mean? Contextually relevant means, guess what? Our culture, our celebration looks and feels a little bit different in, let's say, some of our interiors facilities where we have a lot of sewers that are sewing couches and furniture for boats and RVs, right? Than it does, let's say, one of our chassis operations that does a lot of welding. So just because the mere setup and task that they have in front of them, we have to contextualize how we bring that culture to life in those different environments. Mental performance training looks a little bit different with frontline team members in a manufacturing setting than it does with college football players, right? Contextualize, let's even just look at football. Man, mental performance training looks a little bit different in college football than it does with the pro teams that I've worked with. Why? Different demands, different environments. Our pros, I mean, I remember the first time I was having a conversation with one of my professional guys, and he's like, "All right, Doc, thanks. I got to get home to put the kids to bed." And I was like, "Whoa." Right. You're a grown man. You have a kid, you have a wife and kids at home. College guys aren't going home to their kids. Usually, right. We've got a couple that do, but that's not like what they're racing home to predominantly. And so, you know, it's just contextualized. How do we put what's relevant to our people in their hands at the time, given their environment, given their task, given their age, given demographics? All of those things have to be contextualized. If I just read a textbook about the scientific approach to cognitive processing, they're going to be like, "Doc, talk to us in ways that we can hear you," right? So we talk about cognitive processing. I use scientific terms, but we give specific examples to what cognitive processing looks like, right? When it's early on in the game and we have a whole four quarters in front of us to win the game, or when we've got 90 yards that we have to drive down the field to win because we're behind, we have to score a touchdown. Guess what? Cognitive processing can look a little bit different in that setting than the aforementioned one because of the different elements involved. So we have to contextualize what we're talking about as it relates to cognitive processing, which just means how your brain is processing information with different inputs and different stimulus and different real and perceived pressures. Right? And so again, we have to contextualize our culture, our words, our training in ways that really resonate with the minds and hearts of our people. And then I said, okay, so we said top down, bottom up, contextually relevant, comprehensive and integrated approach to high performance excellence. Comprehensive, it means everything. Everything inside of your system that touches your people or that impacts how you're going to be able to perform matters. Everything matters. The best of the best high-performing organizations don't say, okay, just operations matter. Just football matters. The X's and O's part of football, right? No, it has to be everything that goes on in our organization is ultimately going to come back to us winning or losing consistently when it matters most. So get your arms around that. If you've got a business and you've got different functions, you better know what's going on in all of them, right? In a football program, we've got a lot of different departments, a lot of different divisions, people that work with athletes on field performance, off field performance, recruiting, just organizational stuff, right? And day-to-day management and facilities and all of those things, all that matters. It goes to winning or it goes to losing. So make sure as you're thinking about your high performance team or organization, you're comprehensively taking into account everything that goes on. You know, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of coordinators, football coaches that are coordinators that want to become head coaches. And when they realize all the other stuff that they are responsible for as a head coach versus a coordinator, they have a lot more appreciation for the head coaches that they've worked for in the past. Because it's a lot and everything matters. And, you know, if you think back to Joe Paterno and Penn State football and the tragedy that happened inside of that organization and the tarnish that that put on that man's legacy, everything matters. And it, as the head person, you're responsible for it. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm casting no judgment and making no statement on that situation. I'm using it as an example. If you don't know about it, Google it, right? But as a leader, comprehensively, you're responsible for everything that goes on in your organization. And that's then what comes back to the top down, why this is so important, because you're the one that is either allowing things or not allowing things. Coach Kelly's had the courage to move on from a couple different coaches over the last 7 years that we've been together because they're not in alignment with what he says is important. We have what we call a positive coaching environment. Dr. McGuire trained us in that. Being a positive coach, being demanding, but not demeaning. We are demanding on our guys, but we're not demeaning. But we've had some coaches that thought, that doesn't matter. This is football. We coach football. We're going to talk to them the way we want to. And they're demeaning and they refuse to get on board. And so after highly successful, quote unquote, I'm putting air quotes if you're not watching the video, highly successful years that these coaches have had, he's moved on from them. Because to him, success is not just winning on the X's and O's, it's having the right culture and environment so that that winning is sustainable. There's a reason Brian Kelly is the winningest active head coach in college football. Yes, that's true. Look that up. Because over the course of his 30 plus years of being a head coach, everything's mattered to him. He's done every job inside of a system. And he's a phenomenal leader of organizations. And the same is true in our business. Why Lippert is so successful is because our senior leaders, Jason Lippert, Ryan Smith, Jamie Schnur, know every part of our organization. Now, they don't micromanage it. They hire really good people that own their parts of the business. So from the bottom up, it's theirs. But there's not anything that goes on in our business that those guys don't have their hands on to make sure that it's aligned with who we want to be as an organization and what we're trying to accomplish. So comprehensive, everything. But comprehensive isn't enough because really good silos don't make a great organization. You can have a great recruiting department, but man, if they're not connected with the coaches that then have to develop those guys that we recruit, it doesn't matter, right? So comprehensive, integrated. Every part of your system has to be connected. There has to be alignment because guess what? Repeated thoughts build mindsets. And as your players walk through your halls of your facility, what are they reading on the walls? That's comprehensive and integrated. When they step into their position coach meeting, are they hearing similar things that the head coach is saying, that the walls say? If not, it's not integrated. And now all of a sudden there's a disconnect between what we say is important, what they're hearing in one place and what they're hearing in another place. And it's that little bit of hesitation, that little bit of confusion, that little bit of doubt that creeps in and starts to create little fissures in an organization that then over time start to create separation. And then a little bit more of that and a little bit more of that. And before you know it, you're losing games you should have won. There's a lot of tension. It's unhealthy. It's toxic in the building. We've all felt that in jobs that we had. And business is the same. You know, if culture and leadership, the part of the organization that I get to be a part of, is disconnected from finance or from our supply chain or from our day-to-day operations, well, then people just see stupid stuff we post on social media and they're like, yeah, right, that's BS, because it's not part of their lived environment. But man, one of our vice presidents in Keenan Colson in our organization, she's phenomenal. She leads a whole part of our technology division, right? In business systems and business intelligence. Her signature says making business a force for good. In business systems? What? Heck yeah. She has a critical role in helping us be a force for good in people's lives, in our business, in our leaders that need data to make decisions. And so making sure that all parts of your business are integrated and aligned with that vision, mission, values, accountability structure that's set from the top, again, it allows them to own it from the bottom and contextually be relevant so that everywhere people go, everywhere that customers go, everywhere that kids go, it's aligned, it's reinforcing, and it's growing who we are and the expectation of how we're going to operate in this environment. So as we think about organizational high-performance excellence, again, top-down, bottom-up, contextually relevant, that is a comprehensive and integrated approach to high-performance excellence. And here's the reality. When we have that leadership from the top, right mindsets coming up and ownership throughout our business, and it's integrated and aligned, we're winning. It's constrained. Winning literally is constrained only by the talent inside of the system and the resources at your disposal. And I'll tell you what, you can do a lot more with right people and less resources than you can do with the wrong people and lots of resources, right? We've seen people can have a ton of money and a lot of resources at their disposal, and they're still not delivering their best because they don't have the right people there. So again, all these things have to be aligned. Top down, bottom up, contextually relevant. Everything in that side of the system has to be integrated and connected with the right people in place to drive winning, which again, winning is who do you want to be as an organization or a team, and what are you trying to accomplish? When we create a system that is conducive to human high performance and we teach people inside of that system how to think right and be great, shoot, the only byproduct is success. And that's why I love being a part of the two organizations that I get to be a part of on a day-to-day basis, LSU Football and Lippert Components, and serving and working alongside of amazing leaders and people and student athletes that want to be great. And if there's an opportunity for us, you know, to come help your organization think about this, to join you on your journey of high performance excellence as an organization, you know, reach out. You can hit me directly, Dr. Selking at selkingperformance.com, but please don't stop at your team or at your business. I want to challenge you to think about your family. And in fact, that's your championship mindset training for this week. I want you to think about your family as a team, as an organization, top down, bottom up, contextually relevant. What's your vision, mission, and core values for your family? How are you going to hold yourselves accountable to living into that? What are ways that you can get your family involved in it? How do you get your kids involved in that? You know, one of our core values is communication. You know, Ellie's 8 months right now, so she's not doing a ton of communicating. Well, just kidding. She is. If you can hear, she's actually in the other room just chirping away. So she's communicating a lot. So we're talking to her a lot about, you know, who she is as a young woman, who she's growing into, how strong and courageous she is. We pray before our meals. We hold hands. We give hugs and kisses at bed at night. And so that's communication for her. And so how are you bringing this to life? We were over at our good friend's house, the Taylors, the other day, and we said grace for lunch. And then their little guy, I think he's like 3 years old now. He's like, let's do the best part of our day thing. And so they go around the table and say, what's been the best part of your day? And he asked us, what's the best part of our day? What an amazing example of bringing your family culture to life with your kids. Don't miss out on winning the most important game, and that's the game at home. You can apply everything that we're talking about to your family structure, and that's going to be your championship mindset training for this week. Make sure you have a culture for your family clearly articulated and that you find ways to bring it to life every day in just the rhythm of how your family operates so that your family can be who you want it to be and accomplish all that you want it to accomplish. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please reach out to me directly if there's any way that we can serve you through keynotes, one-on-one performance coaching at Dr. Selking at selkingperformance.com. Follow us on all the social media platforms at Champ Mindsets or Selking Performance. And you can access all of our resources at selkingperformance.com, including our book, Winning the Mental Game, The Playbook for Building Championship Mindsets. I'm excited to continue this journey and looking at what drives winning for individuals and for organizations. But for now, you've been listening to Building Championship Mindsets, the podcast. This is your host, Dr. Amber Salking, and from the locker room to the boardroom, I just want to challenge you to continue building your championship mindset.